Looking for a vehicle that's environmentally friendly and fun? Look no further than the Ford Mustang Mach-E, available now at Jim K. Ford. This electric car will have you laughing all the way to the bank with savings on gas and maintenance costs without giving up excitement and performance. And with zero emissions, you can finally breathe easy, literally. So if you want a car that's as exhilarating as it is eco-friendly, come down to Jim K. Ford today and take a spin in one of our Mach-E's today. Visit us online at jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln, we say yes!
But I thought we'd start the show with ChatGPT writing the introduction. Yeah. I was curious to see, James, how world famous we've become, lo, these many years of doing this podcast.
Right.
So you know ChatGPT, right? It's the artificial intelligence. You put in information. Please write an introduction to the SWP podcast.
Oh.
Yeah. And then
I didn't know that.
Oh, okay. Well, the whole world... You know, we should call this podcast That's News to Jim. How about that? Anyway, ChatGPT, you enter in information. Write me a commercial for the Suspendables, for example.
Right.
Right. Okay. And it writes you a great commercial about what's going on. But it needs to have information out there on the interwebs to help it do that. And so this is what it came up with as an introduction to the Steve Warren Project. So I'm going to read it verbatim.
Let's hear it. Okay.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Steve Warren Project podcast, where we embark on a captivating journey through the world of stories, ideas, and inspiration. Join us as we delve into the mind and vision of Steve Warren, a passionate explorer of knowledge, culture, and the human experience. From engaging interviews with remarkable individuals and thought-provoking discussions on diverse topics, well, this podcast aims to ignite your curiosity and spark meaningful conversations. So get ready to be entertained, enlightened, and inspired as we navigate through the depths of the Steve Warren Project. James, how are you today?
Well, I'll tell you what, Steve. You can count on me for nothing of any of that. Okay. Zero. Okay. What do you?
I don't think they're auditioning
to do the national or something. What the hell?
It's ChatGPT's fault, and I don't think ChatGPT quite has its finger on the pulse of the SWP just yet.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, good try though. Nice opener. Chuckle. I'll tell you that. They're a little lofty, you know, with what you can present to the good.
Literally, all I had to do, I said, give me a good introduction for the Steve Warren Project podcast. And it came out with all that on its own with no help from me. It's all generalized, of course. But for somebody who's like, okay, let's say Joe Rogan does that. There's tons of information online about him. It would probably come up with a fantastic intro with an accurate one as well. Because that one wasn't quite accurate.
It's going to be like, okay, if someone saw that, Steve, they're like, okay, you got the job.
Right.
All right, you've got the job. Okay, I'll marry you. Wow. You know? So
anyway.
Whatever they're called. GPNW?
Chat. 7, GPT.
Chat GPT. Okay, I'm going to try that later.
Okay.
I'm going to try it with some of the other shows.
I wonder how you avoid some of these subjects. Like the whole world's talking about this, and yet somehow it just eludes you. What? Do you turn on the news ever?
I don't know, Steve. It's every single day, Steve, of my life, at least once a day, okay, I will try and engage someone in some sort of conversation, and I'll think, well, I should tell them about that, you know? And when I do tell them about that, they go, is there something new there or right? I'm all seriously, right? And they go, has something changed?
Yeah.
About you able to pull up sports highlights on your phone? What is there something to do?
Have you guys heard about Netflix? It's really cool. Stuff like that.
Yeah. So every day, Jimmy. Steve, once a day, something like that happens. Yeah.
So you're still in Sudbury.
I'm still in Sudbury. I'm here for another week. Here till Thursday anyway, planned.
Mm-hmm.
Picked up another client yesterday, Stevie, to do my life story. A guy that, kind of cool, a guy that taught me how to play golf, Steve, when I was say 11, 10, 11, 12, when I grew up here on during the summers, we'd go over to the Idaho and play golf. And that's all we did. You know, we're too young to work, Steve, right? We're not going to, you know, hit the fields and plow or anything like that. You know, we had golf to play.
So you use plow as a verb in a different manner. So I'm just taking that.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I know. I mean it in the real manner. Like,
gotcha. Like fields.
No, like plowing someone.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Gotcha. Anyway, that guy, we connected. That guy who taught me how to play golf, Sam Yanni. And everyone in Sudbury, Steve, went to school. I've never heard of this. Okay. Everyone in Sudbury went to school with a Yanni. Okay. Because, Steve, there were literally 15 children.
No way.
15 children.
It's too many.
There's 13 left. Well, they're getting less and less, Steve, after that too many thing. Okay.
Is the old Calgary Flame, is he part of that Yanni family?
No, I don't think so. No.
Okay.
No, I don't think Trent. So. But yeah, no, he's not part of it. So literally everyone, you know, they had the Mrs. Yanni was quite busy.
Okay.
And so was Mr. Yanni, I guess, back in the day. Anyway, so 50 years later, Stevie, 50 years later, I saw Sam and we played a game of golf yesterday.
Nice.
So yeah. Yeah. And, anyway, he since was a broke assistant pro, had no money, back in the day. And he probably started in the late 60s, doing that. He now owns 5 golf courses up in Sudbury.
Wow.
Yeah. Like a rags to riches story. Like you've never heard. One of the most notable ones here in town would be Timberwolf, where they've had some Canadian tour events and stuff like that. So anyway, we just spent the day yesterday, Steve. I'm getting old and sentimental, laughing our heads off, Steve. And then, so we, you know, you kick off, Steve, and next, you don't even know what hole you're on, you know, all the memories and all that. And, super nice guy, Sam. Very, very graceful, almost loving. And then Steve, about the 6th hole, he said, I wonder if you would do me a favor and stop telling people that I taught you how to play golf.
Oh, there's one right to the solar plexus.
Right in the stones, Stevie. Oh, right in the stones.
What a line, though. That's classic. You must have doubled over laughing.
Oh, I was on the ground. I couldn't. I was just blowing bubbles, man. I was laughing so hard because he's such a nice guy, you know. And he was very accepting of me being sarcastic and stuff. But I was watching what I said. You know, I didn't want to be a goof. Yeah, just quietly as we jumped on his cart. Yeah, I wouldn't mind if you'd stop telling people.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. I taught you. Yeah. Cause I certainly didn't teach you to double chip, you know, double chip shots, you know, like click, click, Stevie. Right. And by the way, Steve, what doesn't help? There's some new rules in golf, right? Which were keep the pin in. I think you can take loose stuff out of the bunker now when you never used to be able to before. There's a couple, some other shit. And one of them is that a double hit, you know, like hitting the ball twice in one stroke. So, you know, you chunk your shot, it hits the ball, and on your follow through, you hit it again, right?
Right.
That's double hit. Yep. It's terrible. Okay. Children with handicap, Steve, do that.
Right.
Okay. When they go to play golf. Okay. So,
but though, you know what? Those same children with handicaps, they've heard of ChatGPT.
Yes, they have. Exactly. So, Steve, what doesn't help when you do it, okay, it just makes me want to go bananas when I do it, okay? Mm-hmm. Like I go to the, you've played this fucking game, fucking 50 fucking years, you know? Steve, they can stop with, oh, don't worry about that. There's a new rule. It only counts as one stroke. Oh, okay. Thanks, Barney. Yeah, that makes me feel a lot better. I'm just going to go along and double hit every shot.
Yes.
Doesn't help, yes. Stevie. Okay, it does not help. Okay, so stop with that. Don't worry about, that one's, it only counts as one shot. Oh, okay. Sorry, I was 7 then and not 8.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So Anyway.
Well, I mean, you got to keep things in mind. Father Time is undefeated, and golf is just one of many things you don't do as well anymore when you think about it.
It's disastrous.
You know, if I told you to go out and run 100 meters as fast as you can, you'd tear both hamstrings 19 times.
Right.
Right? For right. example. Yeah. Yeah. Anything physical, really. It'll get you. Yeah. But we should jump in. We got lots to get to today. And on the golf front, how about our Brooke Henderson? How's a smooth 29 on the front nine of the third round of this week's major for Brooke Henderson? Like par 36? Lowest
par 36? What's that? Par 36 or par 35?
Ooh, I'd have to double check on that. I have to see the card. I'm not sure.
All right,
but either way, she shot the lowest round, the lowest nine holes in the history of women's golf majors.
What?
That's not so bad. And this is Brooke, what she had to say after her round today. Okay, Brooke, let's hear you. What do you got for me?
What do you got? What do you got, Brooke?
And she's right there. She refuses to speak. Hang on.
Uh-oh.
Hang on, because I'm not editing today. There's no editing happening. It's an edit-free episode of the SWP.
It's part 35.
Okay. So we got that. I don't know if I can actually add on the fly here or not. Let's see.
I read it. I read it a bit. She said,
yeah, the front nine was a lot of fun. I was really enjoying myself out there. I felt like I was doing everything properly. You know, I was hitting a lot of fairways, a lot of greens, giving myself good looks. And then I made a couple of really long putts, which was really a bonus. But yeah, the front nine was really great. And, you know, unfortunate to drop a few shots in the back nine, but I guess that makes it a major championship. You know, the sports can jump up at any time. So you just kind of have to, you know, stay patient. And it was nice to get a birdie on 15 to get Hosh's shot back. That was nice.
When you think about it, when she hear her talk.
I want to go for tea with Brooke Henderson.
Yeah, she's so cheery, and there's no sense of like, there's no real weight to the moment. It's so light. It's like she's decided to go for a walk with her boyfriend downtown Ottawa. And you know, we went by the NAC and we saw the canal. It was two birds and they were eating. And it's like, it's just going on like that. Like, no, you just did something no one's ever done at a major. And that is fire off a 29 on a front nine at a major, like crazy.
Yeah, I had fun. Yeah, it was good. I had fun. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like she's someone who could just, hey, I'm gonna go drop by the Henderson place, say hi to Brooke. You know?
Yeah.
On my way home from work, and just going to pop over.
Yeah.
Knock on the door, you know, and say hi. You know?
Super approachable. It's
that's a major, right? As you pointed out. Holy freak, man. Six under.
Yeah.
You know, the whole world's changing, Stevie, as we navigate our way through the show. I don't think I talked to you since this Sudbury tournament. Young kid won at Kramer, in the final. So it's a 75 year anniversary, Steve. So you used to be able to shoot 75 or 6, Steve, in the day, and you would make the top 16. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The lowest it ever was 74 or something to make that final 16 and this year, Steve, 72. Okay. In this amateur event, and 7 or 8 kids set another record of shooting under par. I walked around, Steve. So, I don't know what the whole world is. You know, obviously this relates to Brooke shooting 6 under, but my God, golf is stepping up, man, with how good people are. I mean, that was never the case, Steve, when we were watching golf 20, 30 years ago. You know,
yeah.
Equipment and all that. We talked about it before, but.
Yeah, just, let me
fucking good, man.
Yeah, you know? I totally agree. And let me give you a tweet from Monday Q Info. It's one of the most popular golf Twitter accounts out there. The handle is A Case of the Golf One. And I've forgotten his name. The guy who runs it was on Brad Fritch's podcast, the Red Rooster Golf Podcast, that he does with Kerry Moher. And he was hilarious, really funny guy. But he put out a tweet that blew me away. So I guess there's an event going on right now at the Glen Club. It's 7,100 yards. Par 71, slope of 141, and a rating of 74.9. And he says, nice. If you shot even today in a field of 156 players, you beat exactly 3 players. Stay in school, kids.
What? Wow.
Isn't that wild?
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy God. Yeah.
Bananas.
That's like, so rating's almost 75. So if you shoot 75 every day, par 72, you're a scratch handicap. Okay, if you shoot three over.
Yeah.
That's how tough the course is.
Yeah,
my point.
Exactly. And this is...
Jesus, man.
So this is the Korn Ferry Tour, just for the record.
Introducing the all-new 2023 Ford Bronco Sport, now available at Jim K. Ford. With its rugged design and off-road capabilities, this SUV is built for adventure. Whether you're heading off the beaten path or just cruising around town, the Bronco Sport delivers performance, comfort, and style. With four-wheel drive, terrain management system, and advanced safety technology, you can take on any road with confidence. Adventure awaits at 1438 Uville Drive in Orleans or jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln, we say yes!
If you're looking to buy or sell your home, the Glenn Walton Real Estate Team can help. Glenn helped me sell a home a couple of years ago and did so much for us, including staging, which is crucial. He provided a great painter, a cleaner, and even bought new ceiling lights for us, all to make sure the home was looking its best on picture day. All part of his services, and he can do the same for you. Visit glennwalton.com.
You know, people ask why. Well, they've all got, and this is where the old guys are pissed, Jack, who's, and Gary Player, you know, Lee Trevino, are the only guys left in there. And they're pissed about the multiple coaches that people have. You don't just have a golf instructor now. You got a putting coach. You got a short game coach. You got a nutritionist. You got a fitness guy. You got a sports psychologist. So a bunch of that has changed, whether Jack likes it or not. So that might have something to do with it. Does the equipment keep getting better? I don't know, Steve. Guys now are playing with this stealth driver. I don't know if it's Callaway or whoever makes it, or TaylorMade. I don't know. It's this stealth driver. But when I look at it, I'm like, yeah. But that's not much different than my TaylorMade M1 driver, you know. But I believe what really has changed the ability, Steve, I've mentioned it before, is the TrackMan, which is literally putting down an iPad propped up behind you when you're hitting balls with an instructor. Mm-hmm. And now teaching people how to play golf, Steve, nothing is left to chance. So they don't look at your swing anymore live. They watch this TrackMan, and then there's multiple stats that come out, including shit you've never heard of. Okay.
Right.
Spin rates. You know, stuff we would know, you know, hang time, ball in the air, distance from tee, club head speed, all sorts of other shit, right? And they have figured out where you need to adjust those, right? You need more club head speed. You know, Bryson DeChambeau, right? Bryson DeChambeau, you watch that guy practice, okay? After every single shot, he goes to check the number.
Right.
Every single fucking shot when he practices, he goes to that iPad and goes, oh, there we go, 141-8. Perfect. Okay, good. Let's try it again. So, like it or not, I think that's what's perfected the golf swing, you know? Guys are getting more and more perfect with their swing, you know?
Have you seen Daniel Gale's swing? He's a guy that was a Monday qualifier, and he's competing. I think after the first round, he was tied for 23rd. He wears the old, you know, kind of bucket hat. Not exactly the fashion plate out there, but if you watch Daniel Gale, just take a moment, like YouTube him or something. It's probably on whatever your favorite social media is. To see that guy swing a golf club, you would say, I'm better than that guy.
Oh, right.
By watching his swing, it almost looks like he's injured the way he swings it back. But mm-hmm. as he comes through the ball, everything's perfect. And the TrackMan would bear that out. That's all the TrackMan cares about. How's that ball coming off the club? Yeah. It doesn't care what it looked like. There's no style points, no room for description, as they say on the score sheet. But that's kind of an example of what you're talking about, I think.
Yeah. It's not like it says, oh, your shorts don't match your shoes.
Right.
Okay, that might be next. You know, I heard a great expression, Steve, the other day. I said, I got to tell my buddy Warren Z about this. And the difference between amateurs and professionals, mm-hmm. okay, is amateurs practice until they get it right, and professionals practice until they can't get it wrong. Oh, yeah, Stevie.
I like that.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Yeah?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Well, what's that Malcolm Gladwell book, Outliers? That's, you know, you have to do something like 10,000 hours worth of something, which always seemed odd to me. But yeah, it's
right.
Get to a
or
stage
10,000 golf balls you got to hit to make a swing change or something. Anyway,
right? Yeah, exactly. Something along those lines. But yeah, it's so much. It's changed so much. You know, everything about the sport of golf. Well, all sports, the commitment to preparation, having your body in the right state. I was thinking about it this morning watching the newest Ottawa Senator, Jacob Chychrun, his dad's Jeff Chychrun, who grew up in this area. I don't know if I've ever seen a guy so committed to their body. The guy, they put out a video yesterday on the Ottawa Senator's Twitter account. And to see what that guy went through in the course of a day in July, mind you, months away from the start of the season, was incredible. So he starts out with figure skater Tracy Wilson and does like an hour of training and working on his
Tracy
edges
Wilson,
on the ice.
I remember her.
Yeah. Seven-time national champion, Olympic medalist. Right. Then it was off to do some Pilates. And there's, I guess, a movement specialist who walks all over Chychrun, like literally. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if you're old enough. Well, you're not old enough, but good listener, if you're old enough to remember a TV show called The Jeffersons, and it seemed like every five episodes he had the maid walking around on his bad back or something like that.
Right.
No, wait. It was George himself who was walking on a neighbor's back because he had a bad back. Anyway, this Chychrun gets that done by this movement specialist. And then he goes and he's off to the chiropractor after that. He's like bending him in all million different directions. He's got all these things hooked up to him. He's got an ultrasound going. He's coming off a hamstring injury, so trying to get back in things. And then he goes, they show him go off to the grocery store where he gets bone marrow, raw red meat to eat, including liver and hearts. Just the commitment to
Jesus.
I know. The commitment to preparation these days has changed so much. The equipment obviously has, but just the sheer commitment of these people who are already athletically gifted. It's night and day from what we saw, say, you know, 40 years ago.
Yeah. I interviewed one of the best hockey players to come out of the North here, as they say. They call Sudbury the North, right? Everything's geared around Toronto, so 4 hours north of Toronto. One of the best hockey players, besides the Foligno's, you know, and all the Foligno family, starting back with Mike and Nick, you know, Randy Carlyle would be some of the names you'd know. Older names would be Eddie Jackman, the goalie, and Jim Pappin, and Tim Horton, of course, would be the most famous guy from Sudbury. But one of the best is Brian Savage, who's from Sudbury. And I interviewed him yesterday, the day before for the Suspendables podcast.
Nice.
And he was such a good athlete. Okay, Steve, he was an unbelievable track athlete. He could have played high school basketball, which he did. He played football. And he was an outstanding golfer. Okay, he made the Canadian amateur. He was second or third in the Ontario amateur 1 year, like a good player. Mm-hmm. And so he had an option to go to Miami University of Ohio. And first of all, I got him to explain why is it called Miami University? Okay. And it's an indigenous thing, which cleared that up for years. Anyway, he could have got scholarships, certainly for golf and perhaps for other sports. And he decided to play golf because he went to a game. He had to be, you know, at a game and said, I want to do that. Okay. I want to do that. And so off he went, you know, and played hockey. But he was outstanding, right, at all these other things. So that was back then. Now his son, you would know his son's, he's born in the States because Brian moved around. Like Brian was in, you know, Montreal and Phoenix, I think St. Louis, finished in Philly. Mm-hmm. His son, Redman Savage, I believe was the captain of the U.S., one of the U.S. junior teams. Might have been under 17, under 18. And, you know, back in Brian's day, right, he and Wayne has always said this too, right, that you should just play a bunch of other sports, you know, just don't freak out about playing hockey. And you know, the advice to parents is put them in other things. But I think that's over now, Steve.
Oh, yeah, I've said that for a while.
Yeah, like we always hack on the parent who's, you know, relentless about the money spent and the travel and the absolute tunnel vision about throwing everything into it, a million resources and money and time and effort and training, you know, that all of us, Steve, look at and go, okay, that's almost abuse, you know, it's almost abuse for a young kid. But I think the thing is, Steve, you ain't making the league anymore unless you do that. You know,
I agree.
Like, listen,
I've
to
said,
that.
I've said that. I mean, I fully believe that. I think it's an outdated take for sure. I mean, it was nice when people were taking time off, but you know, there's so many of these clinics and summer camps and things. You know, if you take the time off, it's probably mentally good for you. But I wonder, because there's so many families that are willing to go 12 months out of the year, I'm not sure you can keep up. Like 18 years before you're drafted in the NHL and you're playing hockey for, I don't know, 13 or 14 of those. So 13 or 14 times four, do the math. That's a lot of extra development if you're going year round versus the kid who does the Gretzky model and takes the year off to play baseball or soccer or something right. like that. So right. yeah, I agree with that. I would be curious to know how many NHL players now are taking any significant time off as they enter the NHL at 18. Be interesting to pull all the first rounders and say, you know, over the last 10 years of your life, how many summers did you take off? How many yeah. months in the summer did you actually take off? Because I think it's that too is night and day compared to the past.
What an excellent conversation. Yeah. It's like, you know, Tiger Woods, you know, when you see this guy's daily regime, what he did. Now, is there such a thing as natural talent, natural, you know, mental capacity, something in the brain, right? But the guy's daily regime routine was up at 6, Stevie, gym, hitting balls, stretching, exercise, yada, 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 and then go pick my kid up after school mm-hmm. 9 hours later, you know? You know, I've got another friend here, Steve, whose son played for the Kitchener Rangers. And I met with him yesterday. I ran into him yesterday. And I said, what's going on with your son, right? And he goes, he just works out all day long.
Right.
Okay, he's 17 or 18 years old. Mitch. And Mitch Martin is his name. I think he played for Kitchener. And that's all he does. You know, that's all he does. And we used to go... Oh, that's sad. You know, that's abusive by the parent, you know, but well, no, if he doesn't do that, then the dream is dead.
Right.
You know, it's like, what the freak, you know?
Yeah.
What the freak?
I would say this, like when it comes to the top players, I would say this, show me an NHL player here in 2023 and I will show you at least one over the top guardian. There are going to be situations where it is directed entirely by the young man or woman, because of course women can play very high level as well, scholarships and such.
Right.
It can be directed by the youth going to all these things, wanting to do all these things. But I would argue that in some of those cases, the passion that drives them is coming because they want to please the parent.
Yeah.
That's my feeling on it. But once in a while, there is that self-directed kid. Just based on what I've read and seen about Connor McDavid, for example, there's an example of a guy who was just almost hypnotically into becoming an NHL player one day. Some of them have it it just naturally comes to them. It's in their DNA to compete and be the best, and it's all they think about. It's all they want. I think in those cases, if they're driving the bus on all this off-season training, then I think it's okay. Otherwise, yeah. I don't think it's that healthy.
Yeah. It's a good topic, yeah. Like Connor, for sure, like sitting at the kitchen table, Steve. Hey, Connor, pass me the salt. Well, he stick-handled it three times, Steve, head fake, and then fired it over his mother's left shoulder, you know?
And like does it with
always
a Bob,
had a hockey stick.
And probably just play-by-play, but like Bob Cole while he's doing it, too.
Yeah, yeah. He just always had a hockey stick in his hand, you know?
Right,
like, right. He was firing pucks against the garage and all that stuff. But anyway, you know, the other thing, Stevie, that, the reason they may be doing it is if you go to one of these combines, okay, you know, in football or whatever sport or hockey. So they're gonna measure you. I'm gathering, Steve, in four or five different categories. You know, like vertical, speed, strength, you know, higher, faster, stronger, or whatever, right? That those combines. And I bet, Stevie, unfortunately, you may have tons of ability and scored a bunch in junior, but if you don't reach a certain level in those things, Stephen, there's six guys ahead of you that beat you in all those categories. They may dismiss you now and just go, listen, get your strength back a little bit, got to work on your speed, and then come back and see us next year, right? Right. So you're kind of toast, right? So in fairness to these kids, it's like, well, no, I have to. If I can't bench press, I don't know, 300 or something or whatever it is, I won't get asked to go to training camp, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the case, Steve, or not, but it doesn't seem that would be a stretch.
Agreed. I would say that if I'm, you know, if you and I are running the world right now, I would say that there should be some level of intervention. You know, once you're about 15, then you can go. Then you can really sort of, you know, go hard as you want to try and realize the dream if you want to. But when I see like down around the 10-year-old mark where they're going all summer, driving past all their friends on the street who are maybe in the neighborhood swimming pool or something like that, right, or playing basketball. To me, doing that, it almost seems like a crime against childhood.
Right. Right.
You know, give them make sure they still have a childhood in there. You know, don't lose sight of that, because the odds are, no matter what you do, no matter what the player does, no matter what the parents do, the NHL probably isn't coming your way. It's such a rare, rare thing. And then you don't want to wake up at 22 and realize I didn't have much of a childhood there.
What's Disneyland?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's an awesome place. Yeah. I went six times. Yeah. We went every second year, you know,
well, just all the dumb stuff you did as a kid, like just biking around town and eating freezies and walking on the railroad tracks and playing road hockey and just all that stuff
All of that, Steve. Yeah. Playing in the ditch and drilling back a Mickey of Scotch with me and my buddies, you know.
Sure.
And, you know, smoking cigarettes, man. Doing a line of blow later on. It was just, you know, it's, you can't beat it.
Yeah.
You know, you can't beat childhood, Steve.
Yeah, it is. A line of blow. I remember my first line of blow when I was 11. Good times. Then we come in and watch cartoons.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
tripping out on them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, really.
Scooby-Doo. The lava lamp.
Yes.
Anyway. Yeah, moving on. Yeah. Got some other things we want to tackle here on the program today. And congrats, by the way, to Brooke Henderson. Hopefully by the time that, we're doing this on Saturday, July 29th, and on the 30th, she's in her final round at the Amundi Evian Championship in France. So hopefully we're talking about her winning that event for a second straight year, which would be very, very cool indeed. All right, that'll do it for this week's show. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for being with us. And thanks to Jim K. Ford, Glenn Walton Real Estate Team, our Patreon members, some of the legends include Michael Pearson, Jimmy Fata, Henry Backer, Bill Grease, G-Money, Marcus Von B, and so many others. If you'd like to be a Patreon member and get the shout-outs, and also now, although I don't know why you'd want to, you can also get video of each and every podcast that'll be uploaded to our Patreon page. To be a Patreon member and subscribe to the SWP, just go to the Steve Warren Project website. It's stevewproject.com. And all the links are pretty much self-evident when you get there. Again, stevewproject.com. Ladies and gentlemen, have yourself a fantastic day, and we shall talk to you next time.
See you later, Steve.